Well, Thanksgiving has ended. I hope not. Christmas is just around the corner, and I know you're just as excited and more so for that as you were for the coming of Thanksgiving. You know, I've observed that Thanksgiving is, it doesn't come easily for most folks. What about you? I was interested when I heard this little story about an elementary school teacher who was trying to teach her students how to be thankful about things, and so she gave them a homeroom assignment. I don't know in this age of appropriateness or unappropriateness if you could do that anymore, but she told the kids she wanted them to make a list of all the things they were thankful for. And as the teacher walked up and down the row between the little third and fourth graders who were writing their list out, she came to one little boy's desk. His name was Chad, and she noticed that Chad had at the top of his list, "I am thankful for my glasses." And she thought that was really interesting and good that Chad would show that kind of maturity and gratefulness. And so she asked him, she said, "Chad, why are you thankful for your glasses?" And he says, "Because it makes the boys not hit me and the girls not kiss me." And I guess that's something to be thankful for. So let me ask you something. You know, you've just experienced Thanksgiving. What was it that you were most thankful for? Who was the last person that you have thanked over this season? What did you thank them for? Now, you know what's so troublesome about those questions like that? You had to stop and think about it. Thanksgiving should be closer to our hearts than that, don't you think? And it shouldn't be something that we just do once a year and just get it all over with, you know. I mean, when was the last time we had an emphasis where we read from God's Word, we sang, we focused upon Thanksgiving, being thankful, and in the church? I mean, last year, now we're accomplishing that this year. Well, I don't think Thanksgiving was ever intended, nor the thought or spirit of Thanksgiving, to be something that we should just do once a year and get it over with. In fact, the matter is, if that's true of the church, how much more true is it of you and me? I'm going to read with you this morning an incident from the Gospel of Luke that brings up this whole subject of giving, thanksgiving, and answers the question in part why some people give no thanks at all. Maybe you have come through Thanksgiving and you're just glad it's over with. Got the turkey out of the way and the family gone and should Thanksgiving be like that, or is there some reason why we would ever entertain a thought like that? I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and if you have your Bible and would turn to that with me, I'm going to read a few verses here, and let's take a look at this, why some people give no thanks. Verse 11, "Now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the middle of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voice and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when Jesus saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to the man, 'Arise, get up, and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Now, what do we have here? We have a picture, first of all, of a dreadful disease, terrible disease called leprosy. Leprosy, in the ancient world was a dreaded disease. In the modern world, except in underdeveloped countries, leprosy is something more or less of the past. In fact, I believe that it was back in the late 60s that we closed the last leprosy sanatorium here in America. It was in the state of Louisiana. So we no longer have this disease in our country. And if I tried to describe to you today the symptoms or the conditions of leprosy, my description would not at all cover how awful this disease is. What happens usually as leprosy invades the body, throughout the extremities of the body, the nerve endings lose their feeling, first of all, in your tips of your fingers, the tip of your nose, your ears, your toes, all of the extremities of your body. And what happens that when you have a little scratch or a cut, you don't know that you've hurt yourself, and so it gets infected, and then it begins to fester, and I hate to be, as I try not to be too graphic, the extremities begin to fall off, your toes, your fingers, your nose, your ears. It's a terrible, horribly disfiguring kind of illness. In the ancient world, it was such a contagious disease that anyone who contracted leprosy was forbidden to get near a healthy person. And that's why when Jesus met 10 lepers out on the road to Samaria, that they stood a great distance away from the Lord, and they cried, they called out to him and said, "Master, help us, heal us." You see, leprosy was a lonely disease by its very nature. You think maybe that was why when Jesus met lepers sometime, that usually he would reach out and touch them? How long had it been since any of them had been touched by another loving, caring human being? And Jesus would reach out to them. They looked horrible. You know, their noses, their fingers, things have fallen off them. And leprosy was not only a painful, horrible disease, but it's a lonely disease. Because they were separated from others, they couldn't get around people. It was just an experience of abject loneliness. Have you ever been that lonely in your life? I heard about a pastor who was leading a church worship service. It was being televised, and on the program, he said to the people in the congregation, he had challenged them just to, at a moment, just to reach out and touch the person nearest to them. Unknown to him, there was a man in the community within the area that could see that program who had come to visit his estranged wife. They had not seen each other or had not lived as a family for over a year. And his name was Joe. He was coming to pick up his things. He was leaving. This is the last time they'd be around each other. And as he stood in the living room of the home, that television program was being aired, and they both were listening to it. His wife's name was Helen, and when he said, the pastor said, "Reach out and just touch the person next to you," he felt inclined to just reach out, and he touched his wife's hand gently. That was the beginning of their healing the relationship that was broken between them. The loneliness that they had experienced over that separation and that they felt in their hearts without each other was being healed. That touch changed their relationship. That's how it is when Jesus Christ comes into the life of a hurting person. It mends the brokenness. It heals the brokenness. Reaching out, that's the touch of the Master's hand in our lives. Leprosy is not only a lonely disease, but it's a hopeless kind of disease. In the ancient world, it was a death sentence. You contracted leprosy, death was imminent. No one could heal you or help you. It was that kind of hopelessness and loneliness that Jesus met out there on the road to Samaria that day when these 10 men stood at a distance calling out to him and asking Jesus to help him. And then there on that road that day, Jesus injected hope into those hopeless lives. Have you ever felt that kind of hopelessness in your circumstances, your situation, your health, your family, your job, the community that you're a part of? Even if your circumstances aren't as life-threatening as leprosy would have been in that early first century, there are lots of things that can just drain the hope right out of you. I want you to listen to what Jesus said to those lonely, hopeless, hurting men out there that day. I'm reading from verse 14. Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Why did he say that? Because in the Old Testament scriptures, when healing had taken place and God had brought healing to physical healing, emotional healing to a person's life, Moses had instructed the people to go and present themselves to the priest. The priest would declare that they were healed. Now, why would Jesus tell these lepers with their disease, their horribly disfigured disease, why would he tell them to go show themselves to the priest? Because Jesus knew that their illness had been healed. Jesus knew that he had just demonstrated his authority and power over sickness and illness and disease, and he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest. You're healed." Now here's the beautiful part of it. When the men heard that, they believed Jesus. They believed the Lord. And they started out on their way. So you have here not only a picture of a dreadful disease, but you now have a picture of a very determined faith in these 10 men. And here were these men, lonely, hurting, and hopeless, like so many people that you meet even today. And they hear the Lord telling them something, good news, what they wanted to hear, the answer to their needs. And they believe that it is so when it isn't so because Jesus said it so. They obey the Lord when they don't see the provision because the Lord says the provision is there. They trust God to show up when they can't see God because God has already made himself known to them. And verse 14 says, "And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." In other words, they started out in faith believing. The Lord had spoken to them a word, and they believed his word, and they started out. They still had the symptoms. But the scripture says, as they were going, the symptoms start to clear up. I mean, wow, this is a miracle. What a picture of faith. Now bring it back to home. What has God told you in his word that he will do? What has God shown you that he wants you to do? What word have you heard from God that will bring relief and bring healing, bring deliverance to you in the circumstances that you have in your heart today? Will you be like these 10 lepers and respond in faith, believing and going and trusting in what God has shown you in his word? Believing God that it is so when it isn't so, that because God says that it's so, that you will obey God when you don't see the provision and how you're going to do it because God said that he would provide for it. Now, I'll give you a little what if here. What if those lepers had not believed the Lord's command? What if they had chosen not to obey the instructions that they received from the Lord? Think of the blessing they would have missed. Think of the joy they would never have known of being healed and their diseases taken away. Let me ask you, what blessings from God, what joy are you missing when you failed to respond to what God has told you in His Word and what God has shown you in His will for your life. That's how diseases are healed, circumstances are changed, lives are miraculously transformed when we respond to what God has shown us and what God has told us in His Word, believing that it's so because God says that it's so. Don't you just wish you... I sometimes can find myself thinking, I wish I could have been there to see that. Here's what Scripture says. As they went, they were cleansed. These 10 fellows, and I'm sure they were stirring up some dust. They said, go show yourself to the priests, and they were on their way. And all of a sudden one of them said, look, my nose is itching. My nose hasn't itched in years. I can feel my fingers. I can walk. I'm not limping anymore. And the farther they go, the more excited they are. The sores begin to go away. The symptoms are disappearing. As they went, they were cleansed. Wow, what a miracle. What a miracle. Has God acted like that in your behalf already? I mean, have there been things in your life in the last week, month, year, in which you have seen God show up in your life in a very real way that's changing your circumstances? Your nose is starting to itch again. You're beginning to have some feelings where your feelings were numb. Well, what do you think when something like that happened to these 10 men, just like if it happened to you in the last period of time, what do you think they did next? You think that everybody got up and ran down to the church? You think that they just fell on their faces to give thanks? Well, if you do, you've got another thought coming. That's not what happened. Verse 15 says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. 1 out of 10. I'd say that's better than par. That's better than average. Over the years, I stayed in one church for 40 years, and I made a mental note in my mind of the numbers of people, families, individuals that needed help, and the church helped them over the years. And I, in my mental recollection, I recall only receiving about 5 letters or cards written to the church thanking them for the help that was given. Hundreds of people, only about, I think about maybe 5 I remember getting. About 5. Where are the 9? And then, I think of the families that were in that church, over 300 families, and when they look at the records over the years, half of those families never expressed thanksgiving through giving. Never, not a thing. Now, what we have here, we'll come back to that question in a moment. Why did they give no thanks? Why do we give no thanks? But let me give you another picture here. I want you to see the picture of a delighted receiver, someone who has been blessed. We're looking there again at the story in Luke 17. And the leper who returned came to Jesus, the man who was healed out there. He saw that his disease was going away and the symptoms were gone. He turned around. He ran back to find, I got to find Jesus. I've got to find the Lord and tell him how thankful I am. He fell at Jesus' feet and he's just glorifying, praising God, saying, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Luke adds this footnote to the story. He says, this man was a Samaritan. What do you mean by that? Well, he was a foreigner. it's clear that Jesus expected the other nine men, because they were of the Jewish people who had the advantage of a lot of knowledge about God and about Jesus. They knew that God was all-powerful. They knew that that God would send a Messiah who would bring healing and relief to them. And they had all of that advantage. They should have known what had happened to them and what God had done for them, but they didn't come at all. Here's a foreigner who didn't know that at all. He's just finding it out, and he's there giving thanks. I think Jesus intended this miracle not for the pagan pool, but for the church, for you and me. I think he was pointing out to us that as followers of Christ and believers in Jesus Christ, we have a greater responsibility to be thankful during Christmas, during the Thanksgiving season, and any other time in our lives. We know what God has done for us. We know the height and breadth and width and depth of the love of God that would empty the glory of heaven and form it into a tiny child, a baby, and place him in a manger in Bethlehem, who would grow up and living a sinless life. He would become the acceptable sacrifice to God for our sin. We know about that. So what does that make us when it comes to expressing thanksgiving and gratitude day by day, week by week, and season by season? It makes us much more responsible. I think Jesus intended that for us. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving, a day of praise. We should just start out our prayers, as we were discussing in our Bible study about an hour ago. Prayer ought to start with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, back to that question, why some give no thanks. Years ago, and I don't remember where, how I came across this, I ran across a little outline that has stayed with me about, it answered that question, why some people give no thanks. Now, I want to share that with you. Some people never say thanks because of immaturity. Immaturity. If you're an exception to this, then forgive me. But, you know, it's pretty rare for a person to express or demonstrate real gratitude before they reach the age of 25. You know what I mean? I mean, well, think back. And if you've got little children, grandchildren too, at what age do your children just automatically and without any coaching or prompting say thank you? And thank you for just little things. I remember growing up, my parents, I think it was their favorite or their most often repeated lesson to me. When I went out the door, they'd say, now remember, say thanks. Remember, tell them thanks or thank them. Why? Because given my age as a child and until a certain period of my life, I just didn't realize the effort that others went to do things for me and what it cost them and what it meant to me. And so I just didn't give thanks. So why do some people give no thanks? It's because of our lack of maturity, our lack of spiritual maturity. Sometimes we go past the age of 25 and we still aren't giving thanks. We haven't realized what it costs God, what God invested in us to create us and make us and provide the circumstances that we have within us. And so we rarely give thanks. We never reach that level of gratitude. Now here's another group of people who have difficulty saying thanks. Have you ever noticed that complainers rarely say thanks? Have you ever heard anybody right in the middle of being complaining about something, anything, saying, oh, I'm so thankful? Rarely, if ever. I mean, complainers rarely say thanks. And that probably has something to do with these lepers here. Their lives had been filled with misery and pain and loneliness for years, and And they complained and complained until it became such a part of their lives that they didn't even stop to think, we should be going back and telling Jesus, thank you for what he did for us. Some people rarely give thanks, and they're unable or unwilling to give thanks because of their complaining. Folks, chronic complaining will make you ungrateful and unthankful. Be careful. Here's another reason why people rarely give thanks. People who hurt emotionally rarely say thanks. When your spirit is wounded, when you're hurting down within yourself, you have two choices. You can either have a pity party for one with, and you be the only guest invited, or you can forgive and experience healing. God did it for others, he'll do it for you. And so these lepers had been through that emotional trauma of separation from their family and their friends, having to walk at a distance from any group of people or individuals. And when deliverance miraculously came in the presence of Jesus, they were unable or unwilling to lay aside all that hurt and all that pain to say, thank you, Lord. Here's another group of people who rarely give thanks. The lonely. The lonely rarely give thanks. The 10 lepers had lived lonely lives. If you spend your whole life waiting and wanting for someone to fulfill your life, to make your life full and meaningful, you're going to find it difficult to give thanks. I think even in the intimacy of marriage, one of the problems we have is so often is the loneliness that occurs within the marriage as we're waiting or wanting one person to fulfill our lives completely. No one person can fulfill your life. Only God can do that. He's the perfect provision. And so it is unreasonable to expect another person to fulfill your life and give it meaning and hope. No one can meet all of our emotional and physical needs but God and God alone. Finally, those who rarely give thanks are those who have difficulty accepting or receiving love. In the letter of John, in the back of your Bible, the little letter that John wrote, his first letter in chapter 4, verse 19, he says that here is how we become children of God, in that we receive God's love. If you never receive God's love, you will not be able to give thanks. If you don't fully accept and embrace the love that God has given to you through Jesus Christ, his Son, you will rarely be able to express thanks. If you refuse God's love and you keep him at arm's length, you will probably keep others at arm's length too. And in the absence of family and friends and God's love, those 9 lepers were unwilling and unable to express thanks. One man returned. Verse 19 says that as he gave thanks to the Lord, Jesus told him, your faith has made you well. That's the key. Believing that God is in control of your life, knowing that God loves you, and receiving that love in as yours and yours alone, in that experience, you become eternally grateful. Are you hurting this morning? Are you hung? Are you lonely? Are you depressed, troubled? Think about it. God loves you and sent his only begotten Son to give you not only life eternal, but to give you full and meaningful life here and now. Receive that love. Accept that love. Let Christ Jesus come into your life and control your life. Not only will you experience that joy and meaning, that he brings with him, but you will become you will be eternally grateful to him. You see, sin made me untouchable. Jesus forgave my sin and cleansed me. Sin left deep wounds in my life. Jesus healed me and took away those wounds. Sin left an unpayable debt. Jesus paid it all. And now I'm faced with the joy of that forgiveness. I am eternally, incurably, joyfully in debt to him and thankful to him. But the only problem I have now is the challenge and question that Andre Crouch, I think, expressed when he sang these words, "How can I say thanks for all the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for all the things he has done for me. With his blood, he has saved me. With his power, he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Just let me live my life and let it be pleasing, Lord, to you. And should I gain any praise, let it all be and go to Calvary where Jesus died." I want to challenge you to do one of two things or both today. First of all, I want to challenge you to express your thanksgiving to God for what he has done for you. Now, I'm not going to put thoughts in your mind. The Spirit of God will put it in your mind. Just thank God today. Thank him. Thank him. To you be the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you. And then if you're finding difficulty doing that because of the hurt and loneliness and pain that you've been experiencing, I want to challenge you to accept and receive from God today the love that he has for you. I have the testimony of others along with my own who have said to me, the moment that I accepted God's love and knew that God loved me, everything wrong in me drained out. Everything. And I've seen the witness of their lives lived out through the years in that way. I challenge you today to accept God's love for you. And when you do that, you'll be like that one Samaritan who came back and said, "Lord, thank you. Thank you." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the words you've spoken to us today. Thank you for that incident that happened out there on that dusty road to Samaria that has left an impression upon our hearts today. Oh, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for the privilege I have this morning, the privilege we have to just pause here and join the unseen host of heaven that are praising you and exalting you right now for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for raising me. Thank you for filling my life with your Spirit. Thank you for your great love that has set me free and given me peace and a hope of eternal life. I bless you now in Jesus' name. Hear our prayers. We praise and worship you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to what God has spoken to your heart today. It may be that as you've listened, something that God has spoken has struck a note in your own heart, your own life. It might even be that you have had some blessing in your life that you'd just like to come and stand here in front of folks and say, "Let me tell you what Jesus did for me." And if so, come and do that. I'll hand you a microphone. You can say it, or you tell me, I'll tell it to the congregation for you. You say, why do that? Jesus said, if you confess me before men, you tell other folks about me before others, I will confess you, I will tell the heaven about you in God's heaven. So we want you to have that opportunity. If you've never accepted the love of God by receiving God's love in your life through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, come this morning and stand with me a moment and say, that's what I want to do. I want Jesus to be in my life, to be the constant prompter and reminder of the good things that He does in my life day by day. You come and share that with me this morning. I'm not going to ask you to make a speech or answer 10 easy questions, anything like that, but Scripture tells us that when something means that much to us, we ought to say so. Share it with us today. Let's stand and sing together. You come while we're singing on this final stanza.
Oh, my tomorrows, all my past, Jesus is Lord of all. I quit my struggle.
To God's Word, and my prayer is that as you sang those words a moment ago, that they didn't make a storyteller from you, but all my possessions, all my life, Jesus, You're the Lord of it all.